So the second case today is LU 12-111904 DZMSAD-Pearl Marriott Hotel. So do any commissioners have a statement to make before that?
Yeah, I do. So probably just want to make clear for the record that there is no legal conflict of interest on my part with this, and there's been no ex parte communication, but I do have been working on a very similar project for both Marriott Corp. as well as Williams & Dame down in Los Angeles. So just want to put that on the record.
Okay. Thank you. All right. As we said, Pearl Marriott Hotel. And Tim, are you going to spearhead this one?
Yeah, this is a thinly veiled attempt to illustrate how busy we are and short-staffed.
Okay.
So that said, Mark will be right down, but I will warm this up, and I think most of the talking really needs to occur on the part of the applicant here, but I'll set the stage. This is a second hearing for the Pearl Marriott, Land Use Review LU 12-111904, DZMSAD. I will keep it very brief and let you know that you do have a cover letter in front of you, dated May 27th, which cites the changes, as well as a staff report recommendation for full approval, as well as revised drawings and the final 11x17 drawing set that reflects those changes. And essentially, but the short version is that the applicant responded entirely to all the concerns raised by the commission. And I think that's probably my final comment, unless Mark has any other additional points to clarify. I think it's really the applicant to talk about what changes they made and for the commission to consider those changes and staff's full recommendation of approval in front of you.
Sounds cool. Good to me.
Thanks.
Sorry, I'm late.
Okay. Looks like it's in focus, I think. All right, well, thanks. My name is Kurt Schultz. I'm a principal with Sarah Architects. That's 338 Northwest 5th Avenue. And I'm here representing Pearl Hotel Investors, LLC, which is the developer client for the Pearl Marriott Hotel. So this is our second design review hearing. We really did appreciate your comments at our first design review hearing. And frankly, they created a lot of internal discussion amongst the entire design team with all of our clients, with Marriott, with Kittleson, our traffic engineer. And we have come back with some substantial changes, all based directly on your comments from last time. So we've really tried to address all the recommendations you made at the last hearing and incorporate that into the project, including some significant changes to the drop-off zone, which really was one of the largest topics of conversation at the first hearing. Go to the next slide. After the first hearing, you know, there was a lot of discussion about the drop-off zone within the courtyard, and as soon and you know there was. The design commissioners, you guys were going kind of back and forth on it. David Work was very adamant about not having it. Soon after the hearing, as soon as that very afternoon, we actually sat down with Kittleson, our traffic engineer, and really they actually had they raised some new concerns with us about the internal drop-off in the courtyard that we actually hadn't thought of before, that we think were very valid. Essentially, what they were telling us is that the way that we had the drop-off set off on this project would actually make things messier and worse for the neighborhood as well as for Marriott, as opposed to make them better, which is what we really want. Which is what we wanted to do. Essentially, because of the drop-off, it would create confusion, according to Kittleson, where we would be essentially having two drop-off areas. We'd have a drop-off area in 9th where everyone would come to. Someone at that point would need to tell them where to go because we were not unless we wanted to staff two separate valet areas, then people would have to circle the block, figure out where to go, stack up in the internal courtyard, and that created some issues as well. So they encouraged us to go back to Marriott and discuss this in more detail. We went back to the Marriott Corporation and kind of discussed all of our concerns about the drop-off and our desire to actually simplify the drop-off in a way that made it better, both for the neighborhood as well as for Marriott. And essentially, Marriott, we were pleased to discover, was okay with these revisions. Essentially, what they told us is, first off, these extended, like a Residence Inn, these extended stay hotels actually have less drop-off needs than, say, a full-service hotel, which you might see in downtown hotel. They also agreed with us and Kittleson's recommendation that actually this was making drop-off and traffic messier around the block rather than simpler, and also kind of a nightmare for Marriott to manage. So what we agreed to do is, first we talked to PBOT, and they have agreed to give us three stalls for a hotel zone on Northwest 9th Avenue. Marriott agreed in order to, and really this becomes a management issue, to get the cars out of there as quickly as possible and into the parking lot. Marriott agreed to actually up the staffing of their valet parking, so that when someone is coming to the hotel, they'll most likely be coming from the south on Northwest 9th Avenue. They would pull off to one of these three loading zones on 9th Avenue. Marriott would increase their valet staff and get people out of there fast. And that's really to address the neighbors' concerns that there not be any stacking up in that location. Right now, there's currently a TriMet bus zone down on the southern portion of this block. We'll be given three or four stalls up here in the northern portion of the block for the valet drop-off. What that means is also that Marriott doesn't have to be confused in the sense of telling people which way to go around the block, and they don't actually have to staff this backside. They also agreed, Marriott agreed, that they would not have any shuttle buses coming from the airport. They wouldn't have an airport shuttle bus coming, so we don't need to worry about a bus loading zone or anything on Northwest 9th Avenue. And frankly, it also allowed the ability to create more public space and amenity space and gathering space within the courtyard that really actually makes it a more active and more viable space than just a space that was dealing with cars and public space just to the south. Go to the next slide. We also took your advice and we flipped some of the program elements primarily and what we're calling the east wing of the hotel. So what we did is we flipped the pool and the fitness room, which actually used to be on the courtyard space. The reason we had this in the courtyard space in the first place is because we didn't want to have, you know, headlights and whatnot shining into guest rooms as cars were coming into the courtyard. By actually moving cars onto Northwest 9th Avenue, we decided to take your advice and activate Station Way Street with the pool and the fitness room on the ground floor to provide, you know, a long, deep bank of windows and a lot of activity on Station Way rather than quiet, you know, hotel rooms. We moved these three tower elements that used to be on Station Way that were to create a much more urban edge on Station Way. These rooms also can have some private patios that extend into the courtyard space, and then we create a more active gathering area in the center of the block, which Walker Templeton and Kurt Lango will describe in more detail in a little bit. We also addressed, in terms of the elevations, some of the kind of more blank elevations that occurred here on this corner, and also up in this corner, as well as completely rejiggering the Station Way elevation, which you'll see in a little bit. Next slide. The upper levels are essentially the same, with the exception of moving these three tower elements from the east side to inside of the courtyard. So essentially, we were creating a very urban edge around the perimeter of the block, but we have more differentiation and a little softer edge within the courtyard itself, which is also something that you had suggested. Next slide. And with that, I'm going to let Walker talk to you about some of the elevation changes we made, and then Kurt Lango can talk about the courtyard.
Walker Templeton, project designer with Serra Architects. I'll go over a lot of the changes that Kurt had talked about, starting with the west elevation along 9th Street. We all sort of agreed that that was an active, dynamic facade, and we wanted to take some of those elements and we'll wrap them around the building, and I'll walk you through that. We'll sort of walk from elevation to elevation. But one concern also was the entry canopy, and this idea of this beacon on 9th now, by having this be the only drop-off, I think really strengthens and clarifies the design. It really creates, this is the entry point, this is the focal point, this is where you come to drop off at the building. And so this is zooming in on that entry canopy, and some concerns that you had last time, was, and I felt the same way. It was a little bit, there was a little bit of tension going on. It was a little too close, I think, to the soffit. So we dropped that, we put wood on the bottom side of the soffit to really warm it up, and then as well as we made it wider, and we extended it out 2.5 feet. So it really does become a very large entry into the hotel. Again, that north facade and along 9th, we had that dynamic facade. You could see along the base there, we had the floor-to-ceiling glass. That's where the that's where people go to eat in the morning. There's a bar associated behind that, so that corner will be very active at night. And this is looking at that elevation. We had had some concerns with the northeast corner before we had the brick down to the ground, and so what we've done to kind of turn that corner from a little bit blank corner to a more active is we continued that rhythm, that play on the facade around. We turned around that corner, and we actually brought it all the way down the east facade as well. And as Kurt had talked about, we pulled that building up and did that same treatment of floor-to-ceiling glass along the base, where the pool will help with security issues as well as going to activate that east facade. And then we also turned our one loading dock, we put all glass on that as well. This is a view looking down Station Way, where you can see now floor-to-ceiling glass. We have the pool, we have the workout facilities. We did the same treatment of that warmer color, that little bit of more human texture along the ground floor to help, and it also creates that, again, that floating, active upper base. If we look at the elevation here, well, as I talked about, we took this dynamic facade that we all agree we like this facade. And before this was maybe think about it a little bit as back of house, and now there really is no back of house. And I'll get to it. It also, I think, did some very positive things for the courtyard as well. And again, we didn't have this view last time. And we really concentrated on this facade, on this back, on the east side, on these two areas where we had all brick before. We went back to Marriott and we actually challenged them a little bit on the room layout. We were able to get some windows in there. So now these two facades that used to be brick are, we continued again that play on the facade, brought windows into it. This is looking into the courtyard. And again, we moved these tower elements into the courtyard, and we use that again, that warm material, the vertical, wherever we have vertical elements, we use the vertical metal panel. And sort of what came about of flipping that, not just flipping the program, what I think was very exciting was the fact that it not only did we sort of keep a uniform facade on the exterior of the building, but now this courtyard, it really truly has multiple different facades looking into it. It sort of activates it, and it's almost as if you get that south facade, which is the bright colored metal panel. You get the west facade, which is a play on the dynamic white brick, and then you get this facade, which is these tall vertical elements of the metal panel. And then again, this is just a looking at that again. Before this was all brick, and by working with creating a special room layout for these units, they actually get more windows in the units, and we get more windows on the facade. We'd also worked on this courtyard, and Kurt Lange will talk in depth about it, but as part of the program that we put into the courtyard, we have this covered canopy area. We also have some renderings of it we'll show you later. But what it does is it extends the program, the activity from inside the bar, the lounge. and it brings it out into this courtyard. And now it's a covered space, and it could be heated with space heaters. And so year-round now there'll be an active outdoor space in that courtyard. And again, this is just looking at that facade where we brought the towers, and then Kurt Lang will talk about this a little bit later, but down in here, we have the floor-to-ceiling glass now for those units, as well as those units get individual patios that come out into the courtyard. And so again, that's more activity, morning, night, afternoon, that's people into this courtyard space.
Thanks, Walker. Kurt Lango, Lango Hansen Landscape Architects, 1100 Northwest Gleason, Portland. As we took out the porte-cochere, kind of eliminated the driveway access, it seemed like there were a lot of things that we thought were fairly successful last time, that kind of partay of these series of outdoor rooms. And so we essentially extended that pattern kind of throughout the plaza. It was important for us not only to create kind of these successful spaces from down below, but also, you know, there's going to be a lot of eyes down onto the plaza, the square, the greenery. So really creating something visually engaging, looking down onto it. The other thing was on the east side, introducing this slight arc of trees and landscape, and we really wanted to create a very kind of inviting gesture into the courtyard. It does a couple things. One is it gets a series of evergreen trees that really invite you into the space, but also provides a buffer for some of the rooms that are over there on the side with the private terraces. As they're looking through this woodland garden, there's this kind of filtered view into the space itself. We also moved the water feature kind of one room north. There was a lot of discussion, good discussion last time about that kind of public versus kind of semi-private realm. So that, I think, now really begins to kind of clearly delineate the different areas between what is code-required public area and then that transition into more of a private area. You know, the same type of trees kind of moved through the site. We also have a number of fire pits. Last time we had one, so we have one right here, one right here underneath the canopy, and one right there. Thinking about those amenities that really draw people out during the evening hours. And we also continue to have the benches kind of throughout the site, as well as these other kind of light benches that kind of move through. And then the idea of the flexible furnishings as well. Materials remain predominantly the same, using a precast concrete paver throughout, two different colors, which it kind of accentuate that kind of east-west banding, the wood benches, these kind of light benches, which will be illuminated during the night, the water feature, and the fire pit as well. And then planting, we did introduce this kind of bosque or grove of white birches, which you kind of see down here, really trying to play with the color and texture of the plant material and how it relates to the facade of the building. The Gleditsia trees right here, which are also the same trees that are used on the Jameson Square boardwalk, turn this bright yellow during the fall. So I think that will be quite nice. Code-required landscape or plaza area is this area right in here, with the water feature kind of defining that edge. Just a couple things about that. And I think these were good questions last time, just in terms of the public nature of the space. And for this area, you know, we will be using kind of what, you know, kind of standard park and rec hours in terms of how people might be able to use that space. And then also what we are looking at is during different events, there may be a signage there which speaks to, you know, this is a private event, but there won't be any gates or fences there. And then this is the water feature again that we've kind of moved to this area, which is essentially kind of a water wall. So as you're kind of looking along here, that creates that kind of terminus to that axis.
So overall, we still see this as a very kind of layered space, and we're really excited about the current direction and certainly appreciate the comments you made last time in terms of creating these kind of series of outdoor rooms and how the space may kind of unfold as you kind of enter it.
I think this rendering does a good job of sort of explaining that idea of layering a very public space that layers into a little bit more. It just becomes a little bit more intimate as you come into the courtyard, and as well as that idea of there's a different facade looking onto the courtyard for each facade. And it just sort of creates a very interesting area. These next few are a series of watercolors just quickly done to illustrate the space and the layering of the spaces and the different kind of areas inside the courtyard. This is looking in that new canopy area. This is looking into what would be spill out for the pre-function space. This is as you're coming into the courtyard, sort of as you how you would experience coming into the courtyard. This is looking at it from the sidewalk. Again, showing that layering effect with that yellow metal panel wall sort of inviting you in. And then this is a demonstration of sort of some of the lighting that would happen at night in that courtyard. You can see the fire pits lighting up a benches, the actual seats themselves light up, and then this nice area outside of the pre-function space that would be well lit and tables and chairs. And then finally, this is a night rendering of the hotel.
All right. Does that conclude your presentation? Very good. Any questions?
Kathy? On your southwest courtyard elevation, you know, you talked about the desire to create this kind of whole series of almost different solutions or buildings within the building. Did you at all look at just trying to take that same pattern or concept where you have the orange panels passing behind the brick to tie in behind the vertical elements? It just, I guess the first thing I wanted to see was just to have it continue, because it seems incongruous to all of a sudden have that not relate.
We did. We keep fighting not to do that thing on every single facade of the building.
So I guess I would almost, just to jump in, argue that this is all of a sudden doing something different on a facade versus just continuing a pattern. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay.
It does. We looked at this elevation multiple ways, and the idea is there's still the yellow surround over every single window. So it's just an idea of taking that same horizontal lines, same idea of the yellow metal panel in that horizontal plane, but just doing something a little bit different on that facade, again, to have a somewhat different facade looking into the courtyard. And this is a turning. It's a little deceiving because of the way that this elevation plays out, but that's a 90-degree angle right there. Mm-hmm. So it is a turning.
Okay.
So that's looking back at the bays, right? I mean, so it's
mm-hmm.
Okay. It's actually the south east elevation, but anyway.
Oh, sorry, I meant southwest. Yeah. I misspoke.
Well,
I'm looking
that right?
at.
Is that actually the right?
That's where they got it later.
Term?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
No. Okay. All right. Any other comments? Questions? I had a small one, a couple little things. You mentioned that you have glass on the loading dock door.
Yes.
Is that a translucent glass or?
We're working on it, either somewhat translucent, maybe as it fades up to the top, it becomes more and more open, or possibly even working with this metal panel system, we could even do the glass and then do some sort of a fruit pattern that with those circles, it sort of relates to the circle pattern.
I don't know that I had any other. Dave, you have any questions or Andy? No? Okay. Are we taking public testimony again at this point? Are there any? Okay, that's it. Okay, all right. Okay, so there is one person that, if you do want to speak in favor or in support or not in favor, there should be yellow forms in the back for any of the cases coming up, and then hand them to Paige over there. And so this person, Rosemary Devaney, is that right? Okay, Rosemary, you want to come on up? That's fine.
Sorry about that. Are there people from Marriott here today?
No.
Specifically from Marriott.
Okay.
Over here, Rosemary.
Oh, here?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I came to the meeting on the 17th, but I had to leave when I found out Marriott was going to be 2 hours later. So thank you for coming early today. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Some of my questions may have already been answered, and if I have something that's not relevant to the Design Commission, let me know, please. I have lived in the Pearl since 2005, and my current residence is at 920 Northwest Kearney Street, number 239. So I'm two blocks from the where the Marriott will be, and I walk in that area almost daily. 9th Avenue can be pretty scary at times for pedestrians. And I'm thinking the entrance on 9th might be a good thing in that it might slow things down, although things can come to a standstill when the train is stopped. But it is a difficult street to cross, and even at that crosswalk on 9th and Lovejoy. And, of course, hotel guests will be crossing 9th as well. So I'm wondering if Marriott would want to work with the city on making that a safer place for hotel guests and pedestrians to cross. I don't know if they can, but that's just a thought. And the trees, are they being removed on 9th that are there now in front of that lot?
In the rendering, you can see here they're there will be either usually on something like this. I'll let them answer, but usually, there will be trees there, whether they're new or existing.
Oh yes. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
They're all new.
Okay.
They're all new. Okay. And there's going to be green areas in the courtyard. Will there be any green areas on the west side? I know the gym and all of that is there, and the pool. Will there be green areas on the west side of the building?
The east side?
The east side where Station Way is, yes.
Yes.
Oh, there will.
Like there's a landscape strip there,
oh, good. Okay.
10 feet or so, something like that.
Okay. I have an article here from the Oregonian dated May 6, 2012. And it says a report said that the nation's hotels use 4% of all commercial building energy per year and generate 34.7 million metric tons of greenhouse gas emissions. This is a study that was done by Brighter Planet. And it said, in terms of being green, the Vagabond Inn came in, number one, and the upscale Northwest Marriott Hotels and Resorts came in last out of 75 chains analyzed by Brighter Planet. It says the ranking was based on a few considerations, including the age of the hotels and the amenities offered. I'm wondering if they could speak to that.
Okay.
And as I stated, I do I walk in that area almost daily. There can be problems with drug and alcohol use by folks who sit on the benches on the south side of Station Place Tower and Zeba. And I actually lived at Station Place Tower at one time. I moved in 6 months after it opened. And that's been a problem sort of from the beginning. And it can present problems for people coming to and from the train station, folks who are just walking in the neighborhood. They walk their dogs around there. And with the open courtyard, you know, they may gravitate towards that too, although I think it's great that that courtyard is there for the public. But probably something to keep in mind, that there is a pretty good population there that wanders through that could be problematic.
Okay.
I'm wondering if this probably isn't relevant. I wondered what the Marriott feels the economic impact on the Pearl District will be, and who they anticipate is their customer base. And then last are the restaurants. I think this was addressed in the paper, that the restaurants, the pool, and the gym are all open to the public. I used to belong to the gym in the downtown Marriott, and that was nice. They had a small pool there. And I'm wondering if all of those things will be open to the public as well.
Okay. Okay.
One more thing. I heard the train noise this morning, the sound, and I passed Tiffany Schweitzer, who was out walking her dog one day, and she wants to extend that quiet zone even further. It's supposed to be a 2-mile stretch, I believe, and I was a little surprised to hear it this
morning.
For
the train?
Yeah.
Train.
Folks at the Pinnacle told me, I think before the quiet zone went in, that the building actually shook from the noise. That's how loud it could be.
Wow.
And hopefully most of that is stopped. But that's probably a good idea to have the gym and all of that on Station Way rather than the rooms, because they certainly would be impacted by the noise.
Okay. So, Rosemary, I'm going to ask if anyone has any questions for you. Anyone? Ben, you have any questions? No?
I wanted to say thank you for coming down.
Well, thank you for being here. This has been my first opportunity. I'm not online. I don't use the computer. And I used to go to the Planning and Transportation Committee meetings, the Pearl ones. And I'm not on that committee anymore, so I do miss a lot. And I appreciate you letting me present these questions.
Very good questions,
well,
Rosemary.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
So we'll ask the applicant just to answer a couple of these questions.
So those are some pretty tough questions.
Yep. Good ones.
Good ones, though. Yeah.
So Trevor Rowe, Williams and Dame Development, 1308 Northwest Everett. Thank you. And thank you, Rosemary, for voicing your questions and concerns. First of all, drug and alcohol abuse, I absolutely agree with you. And so we recognize that, you know, our valet trips, you know, to the garage and through the courtyard are going to have a dual purpose. And we also have a lot of eyes on the courtyard with our guest rooms. But obviously, when we open, we're going to have to police the space significantly. So we share your concerns about that. Slowing down traffic, crossing 9th, absolutely agree with you 100%. We got a first draft of our frontage improvement package, which is outside the jurisdiction of this group for the most part. But definitely something that that we will be discussing with PBOT. Economic impact, probably not prudent in this group, but I work in the Pearl, and let's get together, and it's sort of property taxes and also the room occupancy tax as well as the sort of jobs. So we have some data and statistics on that I can share with you as well, Rosemary. And then pool and fitness center, not open to the public. You know, we talked about that early on, but we felt it would be in conflict with some of the other businesses that are trying to make it in the Pearl District. So instead, we sort of shrunk the size, and then we've got this sort of option. If you want to work out in our small fitness area, great. If, you know, we can talk about passes to the other facilities as well. And lastly,
bar would be open.
Yeah, bar open to the public, definitely. Yep. And lastly, Train Noise also agree with Tiffany. Tiffany is who we bought the property from, and probably couldn't have done this project without the quiet zone, which is in place now, and also in favor of extending that as well. So I'll back off now for Kurt.
Well, there was another question about how come their sheets are cleaner than everyone else's, too.
Is that what the question was?
That one.
It's an interesting spin on it.
You focused in on that part of it. Okay. All right. So.
All right, Rosemary, I'll try to answer some of the other questions that that Trevor didn't get to. As I said before, yes, we are having new street trees on all four frontages of the block all the way around. And, yes, there is a landscape area on the east side. That would be on Station Way adjacent to the pool and the fitness area next to that sidewalk. So it's not just a hard edge on that one side. In terms of sustainability, in the past, Marriott may not have been the leader on this. They've actually had a change in sort of their vision and leadership at the Marriott Corporation over the last couple of years, where they've made a new commitment to sustainability. They actually have a goal of having 300 LEED certified projects by 2015 and reduce their energy consumption by like 25% by 2017. So this is a U.S. Green Building Council LEED certified hotel. Right now we're targeting LEED Silver as our baseline. Because it's ironic, because of the train noise, we've actually had to go to a centralized mechanical system that is much more energy efficient than what you might see in a normal kind of Marriott hotel for this location. So we are definitely pushing that as much as we possibly can. So, yeah, great question. So appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Kurt, I did have, I guess you guys could stay up here, right? In case there are any follow-up, we might go with one more round of questions relative to any. I did have one relative to, and I forgot to ask it actually, but it was maybe curb extensions. Are you at the corners on the east part of the site? Have you, is that part of your kind of coordinating with PBOT on that?
It is a coordination with PBOT. You know, right now there actually is bus zones on all that lines, and that can limit where you do curb extensions. Right now, actually don't. Kurt, you might know this better than I, but I don't actually think we're doing curb extensions on the corner, are we?
There's existing
curb. Oh, there's existing curb. Oh, sorry. So they already do exist on the southwest corner.
In both directions? I don't see that on here, but I see it to the south and to the.
I know it's on the southwest corner.
Southwest.
Yeah. So, but towards the west? No.
No, to the south.
Yeah.
Right, because that's it's a bus stop right next to it.
Oh, that's okay.
That's why it's open. It doesn't occur there.
And so at the north corner, northwest corner, as cars are leaving and that kind of thing, I was just more curious about that one more than any of the
others. Yeah, we could request one right now. PBOT told us to do one,
sure.
And was not planning that as part of their public works permit. But we could always ask the question.
Yeah, okay. That's all right. And then I just had a question about the bicycles next to the entrance and the drop-off parking. Have you thought about, is that going to conflict in any way, or is that going to?
You know, we don't think so, since that really is the main entry. We used to have quite a bit of our bike parking in the courtyard, and we moved a lot of it more closer to the main entry, thinking that was actually going to be more convenient. And most of that's actually undercover because of the undercover of the overhang. So that seemed like an ideal location to us, and also to help activate 9th Avenue from a PED standpoint.
Okay. All righty. I'm kind of... little bit of change in protocol, but if you have any other questions at this point, let's kind of complete them, and then we are closing all testimony already, and then so I guess that's it for you guys.
Thank you.
All right. So then do we want to have our comments at this point? You guys ready? Okay. Catherine, you want to go? Lead off?
Sure. I guess to start, thank you for all the changes. I think they're great improvements, and it'll make me rest easier to not have cars in the middle of the block. So that was a good move. You know, I have to say, after our last discussion, I'm still, it doesn't provide enclosure. It doesn't change that kind of design guideline. And so I was thinking about that. But it's such a odd-shaped block, and I'm not sure that I kind of, Gwen made the comment, does every single block in the city have to be exactly the same? And sometimes variety is a good thing, and spice of life. So after thinking about it quite a lot, I'm comfortable with the direction it's gone. Happy with the changes. I'm still a little torn with that backside into courtyard elevation that I was just kind of asking about, and it just seems incongruous. It's like there's no continuity there, and all of a sudden you get to the courtyard, the inside of the block, and it's just a lot of different things going on. That one thing seems like it could just bring it all together if it just kind of followed the rest of the design concept. So I'm a little torn on that, but otherwise I think they're great changes.
Okay, Dave.
I listened to the tapes. I don't know if this is on page. I listened to the tapes from last time, and I'm really impressed with the changes that they made. Mm-hmm. That they all seem like they're really in keeping with the kind of comments that you all had. And looks great.
Okay. Okay, that's our record. Okay, Ben.
Kurt and Walker, amazing job. When I opened the package and saw that you guys had pretty much incorporated everything we spoke about, and I think the project improved as a result. And that's also a compliment to Trevor and your team to accept those and to pay for those and to pay for the whole process to get to this point. And I think as a building is measured by its the way that it interacts with the street, I think all those improvements have improved that relationship quite a bit. So all four sides, as you guys spoke about, are pretty active along Station Way. I think that works really well. That pool will be very nice to swim in the morning, you know, with that east light coming in. So I think that's a great improvement as well. As like Rosemary says, those rooms are quieter on the other side anyway, and the private balcony. I mean, I think you guys are going to improve the cost of the income off of those hotel room units now on the ground floor with their own patios and floor-to-ceiling light windows. The entry point now, I agree, Walker, is very clear when you remove the ambiguity of the secondary entrance off the backside. So I think everything will work. And so now that your main move of the open metal screen makes complete sense, because that's where you go. That's where you go. That's where you leave from. That's where you interact with. And there's no confusion there. So I think your team interacted really well with this public process to improve the project greatly. And so I appreciate all that work that you've all done. So hats off and full steam ahead. Thank you.
Andy?
Hi. Well, thank you for making the changes. I wasn't a part of the first hearing either. Listened to the tapes. Didn't look at the original very closely because I wasn't going to be here. And then I looked at this. And just on the first, you know, pass, comparing that, I didn't compare it with the old one. I was like, wow, this is really nice. I didn't have the old context to go back into. So, I think what you've done is it's clean and simple, visually interesting. The tower elements work successfully to, blend the building in. It has good use of materials. It works with a challenging site rather than working against it. We've seen buildings that try to fit into these non-square sites not be as successful. The courtyard is going to be a nice place for the people that use it and people that go to visit. So I think you did a good job. And if I recall, we have a staff report that's could get us there, right?
Okay. So. Did it? Okay. Well, for closing comment here, we sit up here week after week and comment, and it's nothing personal, and it's from my perspective, it's about how well the guidelines actually work in this case. And so referencing the guidelines and referencing an urban design and that comes down to in the primary realm of that lower building, that first 20 feet. And so before I described the building as has an urban skin and a suburban core, and I think now it has a really refined urban skin and an urban core, but an urban core for people. And I just can't say how pleased I was to open the packet and see that how effective the one move of relocating the drop-off basically allowed the entire project to coalesce in something more than it had been in the past. So I think it's a testimony to how well the guidelines really work, and how basically sometimes, you know, we feel like, okay, maybe we're being hard on people or we're kind of maybe just being kind of in the way or obstructionary. And I think in this case, it's proven that those comments actually taken to heart have really improved the project. And I really appreciate the work and the care that's gone into to making the package what it is now. And with that, I just have one teeny comment. I think on the loading dock, the glass ought to be translucent so you don't really see the fixtures themselves. The amount of light that comes out of there will be sufficient. And I also am looking forward to having a refreshment in the courtyard when you open, because I can see now that this is, we've got urban parks and open spaces, but there's really nothing quite like this in the Pearl, really in the city. I think you potentially have one of the best outdoor urban spaces for private use in the city, and I really am looking forward to it being built. So I really thank you for your sticking with us and really listening and hearing and then responding. So with that, do we want to bring about a motion?
A motion to accept the staff report as written for approval.
Second.
Okay. Catherine Schultz?
Aye.
Vic Hedger?
Aye.
David Feltner?
Aye.
Heather Jansky?
Aye.
David Warp?
Aye. All right. Thank you, guys.